Is there ever a time when Christians are permitted to take legal action? Pastor Dave Roth offers these thoughts as we begin today's Balanced Word.
No one ever, almost ever, wins in a lawsuit. I've been sued a few times, and it's a bad feeling. I've never sued anyone myself, but I've been sued. I remember one time I got sued for $6 million. And I saw those papers, and I'm like, and believe me, the last thing anybody's going to get out of me is $6 million. But I'm looking at it going, here's somebody who's just, I was just doing my job, and someone's trying to take everything I own, which is worth considerably less than $6 million. But, and that lawsuit dragged on for years. The person was absolutely wrong in what he was saying from my perspective and from our attorney's perspectives and everything. But it got ugly, and they ended up, the insurance company hired someone to dig up some dirt on this person that I didn't even know about. And it blew up and became much worse. And finally, after it was all over and people go, oh, I heard you won the lawsuit. And I'm like, you don't win a lawsuit.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Lawsuits in America are getting out of hand. Reality TV even shows family members suing each other over the most trivial matters. It's a sad commentary on the moral compass of our country. This is The Balanced Word, ministry of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. Today, Pastor Dave Rolfe continues a message about Christians and lawsuits. It's part of our ongoing study of 1 Corinthians. So just where do Christians fit in the grand scheme of things when it comes to the courtroom? Let's find out together.
In that day, Paul says, you're going in front of these people that you ought to be an example to. And it's just weird. It's just out of sync. Something's wrong and inappropriate about you using the methodology of the world. The same thing may be said for going to non-Christians to have them solve your problems for you. It's, you know, come on, isn't this something that could happen within the church? You're going to go to someone who doesn't even know God and ask them to fix you? And so his first reason why they should stay out of court with each other is you've got an exalted future. In a sense, he's saying, come on, you're better than that. You have a greater future than that. You don't need this so much. But secondly, as he goes on, he says also, what you're doing when you're going to court is you're destroying the family. You're destroying that closeness that you're supposed to have. As he says in verse 4, if then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you, not even one, who will be able to judge between his brethren? But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers. He said, when you get into these legal skirmishes, it's something that, hey, you're supposed to be family. As he goes through the rest of 1 Corinthians, he makes it clear, we are a family. We are a body. We need each other. When one member hurts, the other members hurt. You don't cut off a hand and have the rest of the body go, oh, I'm glad it's not me. The rest of the body hurts when a hand is removed because we all need each other. And so he's saying, these kind of fights, these kinds of battles, these lawsuits, they're splitting up families. And there's got to be a way to deal with this within the family. There's nothing more horrible than for families to be split. There's probably no lawsuit that's more ugly than those lawsuits that are in family court. As families are ripped apart, and nowadays they say that as Christians, we get divorced about at the same rate as non-Christians do. I'm not sure if that's quite accurate. I suppose it is for people who call themselves Christians. And yet still, let's face it, we all know some people who are good Christians who just can't get along and end up getting a divorce. And what an awful and an ugly thing it is when that happens. The damage that's done, not just to the two of them, but to everyone connected with them. You know what happens when someone in your family is fighting with someone else in your family. And it ends up the whole family gets split and takes sides because you're either going to, well, you go, okay, we're going to have a family get together, but this person doesn't get along with that person. So they say, if he's coming, I'm not coming. And then it's like, oh, great. Who do we have? What do we do? How does this work? And everyone ends up picking sides. It's the same thing that happens sometimes at a wedding when you have kind of complicated family issues where there are people who, you know, parents of the bride or groom who've been divorced for quite a while, maybe been married several other times. And now here you have this idyllic picture of the bride and groom. They're coming together. We're celebrating marriage. And then instead of just having, you know, the father and mother of the bride and the father and mother of the groom, nowadays I'm almost surprised when that's all there is. Usually it's like, well, okay, and when you ask who gives this woman in holy matrimony, it's like her mother's and her father's and the rest of us step in. It's like, boy, what do you do? And who sits on what row of the, you know, it can just become such a mess because there's this tearing that happens. And, you know, here Paul is going, you guys are family. Isn't there a way to deal with your problems, to deal with these issues short of suing each other? So often in the church this happens. Two people have a fight with each other. And for one thing, as he says, isn't there one person who can deal with this? Well, we tend to think, well, I need to let as many people as possible know what's going on. And so what happens is two people are banging heads. Next thing you know, everybody in the church knows about it from one perspective or another. And some are saying, well, I'm going to side with this one. Others, I'm going to side with that one. It becomes completely divisive and disruptive, and it tears us apart. It's one of those things where so often when there's a marital spat that's so bad, when a bunch of other people get involved, it affects the whole body. I mean, I have one of the best things that I think I ever tell people when they're having a marital dispute is you guys both deserve each other, because it's really true. Usually in most, there are some cases, I've seen some cases where one of the spouses is just completely at fault and the other is just as pure as the driven snow. And that just means the pure one has a great sales pitch. But you know, there are times when it's uneven, but it doesn't matter whether it's uneven or not. What happens is everyone is affected. Everybody knows about it, and how do we deal with that? And ultimately, it deteriorates sometimes to the point where the courts get involved, and there are threats, and papers are filed, and all that kind of stuff. And it doesn't just affect those two. It obviously affects their kids. It affects in-laws. How would you feel? And I know some of you have probably been in this situation where you really love your spouse's family, but then you break up, and now it's like you can't be friends with them. It's awkward when you see them. Even when you have two friends who are dating and they break up, and then you see the one who's not your closest friend, and it's weird, you know. And Paul's going, your family. And having this kind of litigious approach to life, having these battles and these lawsuits and everyone, juries get involved and everything else, it doesn't fit. It's a shame. You should be embarrassed to do this. This is your family. One of the great things that happens in families sometimes when one member of the family dies and goes to be with the Lord is that all of a sudden everybody's going to be there at the funeral. And sometimes the only thing that can get certain people together is when someone they both love dies. And, you know, when that happens, it's always amazing to me because the feeling is almost always, why have we been so at odds? Family becomes more important. And it's one of the great things that you can do to bring people together. And so Paul's saying, understand what family is. And if you understand what family is, you're not going to be suing each other all the time. So he says, first of all, your future, your glorious future, makes it just inappropriate that you would deal with things in such a way. Secondly, your family. Families shouldn't be torn apart. And then his third thing, we can see in verse 7 there, he says, now therefore, It's already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? What he's saying here is, if you go to court, you already lost. If you find yourself in this kind of a legal dispute, everyone loses. Is it worth it? Is it worth what it's going to cost you, what it will take from you? Because you have no guarantee that you're going to win. And does anyone ever really win in court? I had a friend who was one of the top attorneys in the state, and he told me that, I said, if you know you have a good case, what are the odds that you're going to win when you get in front of a jury? And he said, if I know I have a solid case and it goes to a jury, I have a 50-50 chance of getting justice. So Paul is saying, look, you've already bombed. You've already failed if it even gets to that point. Is it really worth it at all? Over in Proverbs, Solomon talks about lawsuits in Proverbs chapter 25. And he says this, do not go hastily to court. Don't be in a hurry to go to court. For what will you do in the end when your neighbor has put you to shame? Debate your case with your neighbor and do not disclose the secret to another, lest he who hears it expose your shame and your reputation be ruined. In other words, Solomon's approach is, believe me, when you go to a court, anything can happen, and most of it isn't good. You're giving someone else the incentive to try to find any way they can to make you look bad, to uncover anything that they can twist and make it happen. And it's just not worth going through that. And Paul would say the same thing. When it happens, you've already lost. No one ever, almost ever, wins in a lawsuit. I've been sued a few times, and it's a bad feeling. I've never sued anyone myself, but I've been sued. I remember one time I got sued for $6 million. And I saw those papers, and I'm like, and believe me, the last thing anybody's going to get out of me is $6 million. But I'm looking at it going, here's somebody who's just, I was just doing my job, and someone's trying to take everything I own, which is worth considerably less than $6 million. And that lawsuit dragged on for years. The person was absolutely wrong in what he was saying from my perspective and from our attorney's perspectives and everything. But it got ugly, and they ended up, the insurance company hired someone to dig up some dirt on this person that I didn't even know about. And it blew up and became much worse. And finally, after it was all over and people go, oh, I heard you won the lawsuit. And I'm like, you don't win a lawsuit. And I mean, if I didn't get any money out of it, I didn't file a countersuit or anything, but you know, it's like, okay, yeah, I don't have to give $6 million to him. Great. Well, after a while, it was only $2 million he was asking for anyway. And you know how that goes. But the point was, I was soiled and damaged and worn out from going through the depositions and hearing all this stuff and seeing this person's family members and having them give me dirty looks and knowing that there were people who were testifying for him and they're people that I love. And it was just like, this just wears you out. And even if I had won a bunch of money, I wouldn't have wanted the money. It would be blood money. It would just be another reminder of the ugliness of what happened. And I remember years after that lawsuit was dismissed, when I finally saw the guy, and he came up to me and said some really nice things and gave me a hug. And I was like, you know, this is where it should have started and ended in the first place. Why couldn't we have done this sooner? Why'd we have to go through that? It's just not worth it. Now, that's not to say that no lawsuit is worth doing. And I want to make this clear as we're looking here at 1 Corinthians 6. This isn't saying you can never have a lawsuit. It's not even saying I don't believe that you could never have a lawsuit in which Christians are involved in both sides. Because there are certain things that may have to come to that. If that which is at stake is so important. For instance, if one of you wants to go put a lien on my house and try to take my house away from me, if we can't work it out, we're probably going to court. I'm not going to let somebody come in and do something that's going to take our church away from us. Or, you know, there are all sorts of things that might be worth going to court over. There are certain cases where the Bible permits divorce. And if somebody, because of consistent infidelity, or perhaps in my view at least, if there's somebody who's abusive and dangerous, then God would say, you know, that is worth going to court over. But in general, what he's saying is, you're already saying we both lose by even going to court. So consider what you have to lose. And Paul would say, you know, there are a lot of times you'll wish you had just taken the loss. You'll wish you had just done whatever it would take to make this right and not come down to something like this, not come down to this sort of a dispute where you escalate it. It's a loss if you even do it at all, is what he would say. And then finally, as he says in verse 8, know you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brothers. He kind of wraps it up by saying, the problem started long before the lawsuit. The problem started when you started cheating each other and lying to each other and being miserable to each other. It should have been headed off way before it did. There are people today who will take advantage of 1 Corinthians 6 and doing business just won't pay what they know they're supposed to pay, won't do what they're supposed to do because they know that, oh, you're a Christian, you're a brother, man, you're not going to sue me. And sometimes Christians have been guilty of horrible treatment of other people and hide behind 1 Corinthians 6 in order to get away with it. There are often things that churches or Christian ministries will do to their employees that in the world it would never happen because they'd know you'd sue them. But we can take advantage and go, oh, you know, they're not going to sue me, so therefore I can treat you like dirt. Paul's saying, this is where it starts. Treat people the way they ought to be treated. Treat them in a godly way. Treat them the way that Jesus would want you to treat them. He goes, the problem isn't just that you're suing each other. The problem is that you're treating each other like dirt. You're cheating each other and being mean to each other. Fix that. Get down to that. Now, so what does he suggest would be an alternative? What do you do? Again, just like in 1 Corinthians 5, when someone has a problem, go to them and try to get it fixed. Be honest. Deal with things in a forthcoming, straightforward, face-to-face, one-on-one situation. And don't let it deteriorate to where it becomes something ugly, to where it becomes something much worse. Now, there are people who take 1 Corinthians 6 and Matthew 18, and they come up with the idea that churches and Christians ought to have these big bureaucratic ways of mitigating cases, and let's get Christian lawyers in and Christian arbitration and listen, you know, to all the evidence and follow evidentiary code and do all these things and have it be binding. And what that's not what Paul was trying to do, was start another bureaucracy. There have been times when I've been involved in some situations where there was a lawsuit involving Christians, and then they decided, let's just do Christian arbitration. And I've been asked on a few occasions and several occasions, and I've only agreed to do it a couple times and was sorry every time, but to sit on one of these things. And it's like it was just an imitation of court, except you don't have to follow all the rules. And ultimately, it's creating this bureaucracy. What Paul said is, isn't there one guy who will do the right thing? Isn't there someone who can act in wisdom in your family and the body? Sometimes the answer is no. But oftentimes, the possibility would be there if we were open to it. And we could head off these kinds of situations before they blow up, before they develop to a ridiculous point. What God would have us to do is pretty simple. When there's a dispute between us, we ought to go to each other. See if we can resolve it. And if that doesn't work, get someone else, someone that you both respect, someone that you both say is a person of wisdom, and then say, let's just let them decide it. Whatever they say, problem solved. It's over. It doesn't have to be an official person. It doesn't have to be a pastor or something like that. Just a person who can make a call. See, most of our disputes, who's right, who's wrong. It's not that clear. You listen to both sides and you realize this is sort of a stalemate. You're both wrong, that kind of a thing. So it's really all about how do we resolve this and move on. I think sometimes in a marriage, it's a good thing where if you just can't agree on a decision that you want to make, I tell people even before bringing in another party, just flip a coin. Just like whatever, who gets heads, we do it your way. And if you think, well, wait a minute, that's not fair, he's luckier than I am or whatever, then I tell people do it like jump balls in the NBA, where you have a big arrow that points one direction or the other up on your fireplace. And okay, last time we did it my way, the arrow gets flipped around. Next time we do it your way. And you go, oh, that doesn't seem like wisdom. It's a lot better wisdom than tearing your family apart, tearing your relationship apart to try to see who's right and who's wrong. What's destructive in a relationship is when someone always wins and someone always loses. But the other thing that's destructive in a relationship is when you tear each other up trying to find out who wins. And so Paul would say, it's better for you to just lose, but not to lose all the time, because that's not healthy for the person who gets to win all the time. But be reasonable. And if that's not working, then when you're having a dispute, get somebody else and say, let's go talk to that person. You know someone who's godly, who knows how to keep their mouth shut. It's not going to become an issue with other people. And you go and say, look, we want to each tell you our side. And then we'd like you to make the call. And we'll just go along with happily whatever you say. And you go, that seems weird. Is it weirder than going to court before non-Christians, ruining your witness, sapping out all your resources and everything else? I don't think so. And Paul wouldn't say so either. Go and find a wise person. Just deal with it in home. And ultimately then, if it doesn't escalate further, problem solved. You're in a great situation. That's how families ought to operate. And that's how the body of Christ should operate. If that doesn't work, you have other remedies, but I believe that that'll almost always work. The alternative is to rip each other apart, is to kick it up to another level, put another notch in your belt, another battle.
You're listening to Pastor Dave Rolfe on The Balanced Word and part of a study in 1 Corinthians. Hear it again online at thebalancedword.com. Or give us a call and request a CD at 949-362-7475. That's 949-362-7475. Pastor Dave has taught through the entire Bible, and we put it onto a USB for you. It's our featured resource right now, available for a donation of $30 or more. Request it right now at thebalancedword.com or call 949-362-7475. It takes a team to bring these shows to the radio every day, and your financial and prayerful support is really an investment, helping to reach thousands with the truth of God's Word. Thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Again, go to thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel and loves to meet and greet his radio listeners. Visit us on a Sunday morning at 8, 9:45, or 11:30. Those outside the area can live stream at ccpacifichills.org. Would you like someone to pray for you? Send that prayer request over to us at thebalancedword.com by clicking on Contact or call 949-362-7475. Pastor Dave shares helpful and encouraging one-minute messages on Facebook and Instagram. Check it out at CC Pacific Hills. With a concluding thought from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, here's Pastor Dave once again.
You ever known somebody who's just always in lawsuits? It destroys you. I've seen people like that. It just absolutely destroys your life. You can win all your lawsuits and you'll lose because it'll just suck the life right out of you. Paul would say, with God's people, it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't have to come to that. You shouldn't be treating each other wrong in the first place. And then you ought to have some sense of priorities and not destroy your life and destroy your witness and make your future just look silly over things that are, as he says, small matters. It's always the little things. It's almost never a big thing that ends up in court. It's almost always a little thing. So he says, deal with the little things in love. Deal with them as a family. You'll save yourself a lot of trouble, save yourself a lot of legal fees. You'll probably add years to your life by not being involved in something that ultimately is only going to be destructive.
We're talking about sin and the kingdom of God next time on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth, a daily presentation of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel and online at thebalancedword.com.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play with.